All right. Are you excited to learn about the next stretch of Paul's journey that we've been covering? All right, good. I have a few people. All right, just a little bit of review. We are in the midst of our summer series, Paul's Odyssey, where we are covering Paul's third missionary journey. And last week, PD shared how Paul had bypassed Ephesus and then called the leaders of the church in Ephesus out to meet him, where he would encourage them one last time, knowing that he would never see them again. So this morning, before we dig into our text, considering Paul and the man that he is, what I'd like you to do around your tables, we're going to share with each other someone that you know that, given a task, a goal, or a mission, that when they are called upon, they attack it, they are locked in, and there is just no way that you're going to stop them. So recently, I got to reconnect with one of the young ladies that I coached at the Maple Valley alumni soccer game. And here we are reminiscing about good times, challenges that we faced. And if any of you here know Hannah Pixley, well, yeah, when you tell her to do something, she goes after it. So if you've ever been on a sports team, maybe in drama, music, at a job, whatever it is, there are those people that once they're locked in, laser focused, and ready to go, watch out. Because if anybody got in Hannah Pixley's way, I pity that person. So this morning, around your tables, share, try and be brief so everybody gets a chance to share, but share someone who has that mentality this morning. All right. With the amount of laughter that I'm hearing, I'm sure there are some incredible stories that a lot of us would love to hear. I would share you some of them that I heard at Leroy's table. No. So we're going to move on to Paul, all right? So I hope you've been noticing Paul is that laser-focused, dialed-in, all-in kind of guy, all right? And I know we've spent a lot of time on Paul, and I have always had an admiration for Paul's obedience to God's will, because there are a lot of things that we face in our lives that can steer us in different directions, away from what God has called us to do. But Paul's choice to put God first enabled God to use him for incredible things, to become an influencer. And when I thought about Paul and our worldly view of him, he looks to me like that unstoppable force for the work of the ministry. In our text today, we're going to be in Acts 21, verse 1 through 16. One of the things that was exciting for me as I prepared for this sermon is sometimes you read something you've read before, and you get something different out of it. I mean, you've heard PD say it. So when I was thinking about Paul's obedience to the will of the Lord, it made me wonder what ways I'm going to see in these 16 verses that Paul demonstrates his obedience. And then the first one that came to my mind as I was reading, this will be in your notes and in the online notes, Paul demonstrates his confidence in God's plan for his life. Now, it's one thing to know what it is that you should do, but to be fully confident in what it is that you're going to undertake is a totally different story. In verse 1, it says, "After we had torn ourselves away from them, we put out to sea and sailed straight to Kos. The next day we went to Rhodes, and from there to Patara. We found a ship crossing over to Phoenicia, went on board, and set sail." Right out of the gate, we see Paul confident and ready to go. And you had to know, it wasn't easy for Paul to leave the people that he had invested time with, that he had built relationships with. Again, torn ourselves away from them. A lot of times we get stuck in our comfort zone. We like what is comfortable. But when asked to do something that pulls us out of that comfort zone, we tend to hesitate. Why is that? Why is it so difficult for us to step out of our comfort zone? Paul's confidence is what helped him to move beyond what was comfortable. And the cool thing is like Paul, we see that here. So you will always hear me share the good things that are going on here to encourage you as we are all taking this journey together. So whether that be a group of men who are working on their speaking skills, I know someone who is learning how to play the bass in hopes to participate and serve on the worship team. Someone else I've spent a lot of time with recently is now reconnecting with family he doesn't know very well and getting an opportunity to witness to them. So Paul is seeing all of these things. And that tells me why he has confidence to see God moving. So a question I'd like to ask you this morning is, what next step is God asking you to take? What next step are you supposed to consider in what God's will is for your life? That could be as simple as finding a place to serve here in the church. It could be God has put someone in your life that he wants you to share your story with them. So after Paul's choice to step out of his comfort zone, we see in verse 3, "After sighting Cyprus and passing to the south of it, we sailed on to Syria, we landed at Tyre, where our ship was to unload its cargo. We sought the disciples there and stayed with them 7 days." Now, when you step out in faith and you choose to do what God has asked you to do, we're not always going to have the roadmap. Paul didn't know absolutely every step along the way that God was taking him through. Not having that itinerary, there are a lot of unexpected stops and places God has intentions of using you. So even if it's your normal day, you're coming home from work and you stop at the gas station, how many of you expect that God is going to use you as you step out of your car and you start pumping your gas? But he might. So don't take for granted those places that God takes you. We see in David's life David didn't immediately become king. There were a lot of steps along the way, and there was progress that he had to make. And God helped him as he progressed to becoming king. Now, it says, through the Spirit, they urged Paul not to go on to Jerusalem. When it was time to leave, we left and continued on our way, all of them, including wives and children, accompanying us out of the city, and there on the beach, we knelt to pray. After saying goodbye to each other, we went aboard the ship, and they returned home. So despite a warning that Paul gets, Paul and the crew continue on that journey that God has revealed to him. Don't forget, last week, Paul indicated, he confirmed it, what God had asked him to do when he said, "And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there." So those stops along the way, there are going to be times when we may be compelled to quit, where we may question what it is that we've been set out to do. There have been far too many times in my life where you hear that knock, that prod, God speaking to you, go pray for that person. Help that person who's on the side of the road. And a lot of times we waver, we doubt, and that is the perfect opportunity to go to the Father in prayer, to get that reassurance that we need to continue on and do what the Lord has asked us to do. So that is what Paul did. In verse 7, it says, "We continued our voyage from Tyre and landed at Ptolemais, where we greeted the brothers and sisters and stayed with them for a day. Leaving the next day, we reached Caesarea and stayed at the house of Philip the evangelist, one of the seven. He had four unmarried daughters who prophesied." So here we see God continues to provide Paul people in his life through his obedience. When you listen to God and do what he's asked you to do, God is faithful to bless that. And when putting people in his life to walk beside him, that encourages us and gives us ability to push on further than we thought that we could go. You know, it says in Proverbs 27:17, "As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another." So, who are those people in your life? Who are those people that God has chosen to put in your life for a specific purpose, to speak into your life, to come alongside you, to encourage you? It's important for us to sit down and ask ourselves that question and know who those people are. See, Paul's confidence in what the Lord had called him to do allowed God to work incredible things through him. I said it before, there's a difference between knowing what it is that you should do and having confidence in the Lord to be able to work that through us. The second thing that came to me as I'm going through these 16 verses that Paul demonstrates his willingness to endure hardship to achieve his calling. In verse 10, "After we had been there a number of days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. Coming over to us, he took Paul's belt, tied his own hands and feet with it, and said, "The Holy Spirit says, in this way, the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and will hand him over to the Gentiles." So God takes Agabus and reaffirms for Paul what the Holy Spirit had been telling him along his journey. Something else we learned last week was that Paul had said all along the way, in every city, the Spirit had been revealing to him of the hardship that he would face. And here God brings Agabus, giving that confirmation. And there are going to be times when God uses other people to speak into your life. It could be a ministry leader. It could be an elder. It may be a mentor that you have. So when I asked before to consider and think about those people that God has put into your life, when you've identified who those people are, something I'd like you to do this week. This week, I would like you to take some time, thank God for those people, and pray for them. Pray for them, one, that he would continue to use that person in your life, but also that he would continue to use that person in other people's lives. Now, I have a story for you. A person, God said upon my heart, hey, I need to spend some time with this guy. Well, it was really easy because him and I had been talking about something. Most of you know I have a weakness for a really good bacon cheeseburger. So Don Weiser and I had been discussing bacon cheeseburgers. And he's like, dude, you gotta go to the Black Napkin. So we decided that Don and I were gonna take a journey. We're gonna go to Grand Rapids, visit the Black Napkin, and we're gonna get ourselves a good burger. So we walk in and we're getting ready to order. And I asked the guy to add bacon to my burger. And he's like, well, we don't have bacon here. Don was a good friend. He said, don't worry, dude, this burger is incredible. So they explained to me that the way they smash the burgers and the way that they cook them up, you get a caramelization on the outside, and it's like having bacon on your burger. And I'm like, whatever, dude. So after we order, we get these burgers, and that first bite, I don't know if you've ever had something where you're just like, oh, oh my. So here, yes, he knows. But as wonderful as the burger was, what topped the trip off was the opportunity for Don and I to fellowship together. The opportunity to get to share the things that God was doing in our lives and to encourage each other for what we were looking forward to. And after we got back, I looked over at Don and I'm like, you know what? It isn't fair that just you and I experience this. So our goal is to involve others in our journey to find some of the greatest bacon cheeseburgers on the planet. But in the process, our goal beyond just a great burger is to build and encourage and see God work in people's lives. So I hope wherever he takes you, those stops that we talked about, all of the people that Paul is meeting along this journey, that you're encouraged by what God is doing in people's lives. And that will give you the confidence in God's plan and what he's asked you to do. Now in verse 12, it says, when we heard this, we and the people there pleaded with Paul not to go to Jerusalem. And then Paul answered, "Why are you weeping and breaking my heart? I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." When he would not be dissuaded, we gave up and said, "The Lord's will be done." After this, we started on our way to Jerusalem. Some of the disciples from Caesarea accompanied us and brought us to the home of Mnason, where we were to stay. He was a man from Cyprus and one of the early disciples. So we see now it's not only the people that Paul meets along the way, it's his companions that are now trying to convince Paul not to continue to Jerusalem like the Lord has asked him to do. Now, Paul gets an opportunity here. Paul gets an opportunity to build into the believers and try to strengthen their faith because of his confidence in what the Lord has asked him to do. Paul has seen over and over and over again what God asked him to do. When he is faithful and obedient to do it, God blesses it. He blesses it. I know you've experienced it. I know you have. A week before we went on vacation to Montana, we were here at church. And I saw Leslie, and she was talking with Leroy, and I could just see the weariness on Leroy's face as he stood there with the crutches. And God's like, you need to go over there and pray for them. So I went over, and while Leslie and Leroy were talking, Leslie and I got a chance to pray with Leroy. And it was a prayer of expectation of what God was going to do. When you expect God to do great things. And as I'm on vacation, I see this post on Facebook, and somebody's got a new leg. Yeah. Yes. So I want you to take a look around the room here. Take a good look at all of the people that you are surrounded with. Because you chose to be here today. You made a choice to say, God wants me to be in church. And making that choice today, you have been blessed with a church family that is going to take this journey with you, just like God put people in Paul's life to take the journey with him. So what I want you to do today, we're going to spend some time in prayer right now. I want you to think about those people that God has already placed into your life. And I want you to pray for them and who God is going to use them to touch. But I also want you to pray today. We talk all the time about walking across the room. I want you to pray today about someone new that God wants you to meet. And we give you opportunities. We give you opportunities right here in church. We just did it this morning. We just did it this morning. Getting an opportunity to connect with someone that you may not know. Because as I study the life of Paul, And I see over and over and over again, God continues to place people in Paul's life where he gets to impact them in a real way, and vice versa, encouraging each other. I want you to pray this morning that you would take that step out of your comfort zone and meet someone new. Obviously, we want the opportunity to share our story and share God's story. So this morning, take some time and pray. It's going to be a quiet time. When you're finished, just remain silent and others continue to pray to the Lord. So take some time this morning and just reach out to the Lord in prayer.